Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's podcast time here on the Psych One Fanatic Podcast Network. We continue our State of the Nation series, which is presented by our friends at A-Plus Lawn and Landscape. The Sharp and Lube program is perfect for a guy like me. I like to take care of my lawn. I like to do all that stuff. Big weed eater guy. Love firing up the weed eater. And
thanks for that.
But I don't want to change the oil. I don't want to sharpen the blades. So I'll gladly pay A-Plus Lawn and Landscape to come to my house and do it for me. The Sharp and Lube program is available now. Give them a call at A-Plus Lawn and Landscape. Go to their website. Their banner ads are all over PsychOneFanatic.com. So, we're going to skip over the State of the Nation today for the Iowa State men's basketball program. It just makes sense to wait a little bit longer on that one, due to the uncertainty of what the team will even look like.
Yeah, I mean, how many? Now a Tyrese. Six? How many open spots? Well, Javon Johnson.
There are four open spots. Four open spots, because the two freshmen from last year, Grill.
Yeah, five returning starters. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay. Or five returning.
We're going to do, and we might actually be adding an episode to this series because of the uncertainty of our world. But I thought, Brent, that we could sit down today and kind of talk about what we think that Iowa State athletics could look like in the future in general, post-coronavirus, immediately and long-term.
Sure.
Because I think, and you're going to be a guy, due to your work on a daily, your daily job, raising money for Iowa State Foundation, you're going to be a good guy to kind of pick your brain on that.
Yeah.
And always, I've got my ear to the pavement when it comes to media stuff. We can get into some of this type of deal. This is not the third episode that I had envisioned, but I think that with enough people talking about canceling football and all this stuff, I do think Iowa State fans are probably a little anxious. So maybe we could hash that out today.
Yeah, and it's going to have an impact, and it's remains to be seen, is it a small impact just from a scheduling standpoint, like there's no spring football, or is it even bigger than that? You start talking about the college football season as a whole, and then if you want to extrapolate it even further, if the college football season, for some reason, Chris, is canceled, and you start taking away, so what happened with the Olympics and what happened with the NCAA tournament is now you take that media money away, that's like source number one of revenue for
everybody.
And
so, even the wealthy Big Ten and SEC.
Yeah. So what do you look like then? And it's kind of scary. I hope it doesn't get to that, but I think we can kind of touch on, you know, this thing impacts all of us from a personal standpoint and just, you know, obviously the health of everyone's first and foremost, but then you start talking about the economic impact, and Iowa State is not immune, and the Cyclones aren't immune as well from this thing, and it could touch them as well. It will.
Okay, I don't want to give too much of it away, but I am writing a column for Monday about the role of sports in a coronavirus world. Reason I say that is I was having this conversation with my neighbors, the Hutchisons, today when we were out, and we're recording this late Saturday night, by the way. Bloom and I are both, we've both been I don't want to say trapped, but we have been around children under, in Bloom's case, children under the age of 3, in my case, children under the age of 5, a lot lately.
2 weeks straight.
So we're enjoying a Knob Creek whiskey here, and we're getting together late on a Saturday night to record this, but I was saying, like, my life, and I know that a lot of fans out here listening will agree with this, my life for the last 15 years, all day, every day, has been chasing sports stories and, you know, what commentating, whatever you want to call it. There's nothing.
Nada.
Nothing. And I was thinking about it. So, like, this time of year, I'm usually, like, really... So, today would have been the Elite Eight, I believe.
Yep. And it would have been the third day of baseball.
Yeah. I am lost without my racing.
So, that's the number one thing?
I don't know what to do without... So, like, on a normal Saturday night, like tonight, I would have watched the basketball games, whatever. Then I want to go into my DVR. I would have watched a truck race from last night. I would have watched the Xfinity race. And then I would go to my dirt racing websites, and I would catch up on those.
So that's, even though those are gone, too?
Yeah.
There I am.
I mean, absolutely they are. Yeah, they can't pack hundreds of people into a...
No, as you do, if you race without... There's some horse racing going on.
They don't have television revenue. The only way those guys get paid is if people are in the stands.
True. Good point. Good point.
My point here, and again, I don't want to get too far into it, but I do want to pick your brain on it. When we talk about the NBA playoffs, and when we talk about Major League Baseball, to zero in on those specifically, and then we can get to the football conversation. Based off of the stories that I've read, the testing's about ready to really ramp up in this country.
Correct.
Number one, first and foremost, we need to be supporting our healthcare workers with every resource that Absolutely. We possibly have. I do not put sports ahead of any of that. But I do think that if we get down to in 3 weeks where we're starting to really clamp down on testing.
We can do it in 5 minutes. We can do it on site.
I think there's a role for the NBA
Agreed.
And for baseball here. For the sake of the public's good, to get your ass to work, even if it means, and it will, playing without fans.
And potentially, what the NBA is talking about, Chris, you probably read the story. They're talking about renting out, you know, maybe a giant casino and putting everybody on site and just playing there. So you just rope it off.
I had not read that, but that sounds...
That's the extreme version. The other thought the NBA is going to some cities that may not have the outbreak as, say, an NYC or a Seattle. Well, they don't have a franchise, but you know what I'm saying. But I don't even know if that would protect them. So, but they will be playing, and baseball, too, will be playing without fans before there are fans. No question.
My greater point here is if you start looking down the road in the coronavirus world, you start to really... have to dig into the mental health aspect of people.
Yeah.
And we're going to, the weather getting nicer is going to help, but we're going to need a distraction from
That's
all of
sports
this.
Sports are right there.
Correct. And I think there's a real opportunity here for, especially Major League Baseball, a sport that really needs it. Could you imagine, first of all, TV ratings will go up in a coronavirus world. So think about it that way. But two, could you imagine the Lakers and the Clippers playing in the Western Conference Finals in front of no fan, like Twitter, in a situation like that?
Yeah.
Like, I think that in a way, like, there's certain sports that translate in a coronavirus world. There's certain ones that don't. One, it's not a sport, but it's entertainment. I can't watch my pro wrestling right now. Like, they're doing this. They're trying to keep going.
I know they're trying to do it.
They are, but without a crowd, it's very difficult.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing it at their performance center, so nobody's leaving, all that stuff. It's just...
It's not the same.
It is not the same. I can't watch it. It's unwatchable to me.
Yep.
But I think that the NBA... Steal a page from the XFL. Why can't we be miking these guys up?
Yeah.
Why can't we be, you know, and really get progressive with how we are televising these things? I think there's a real opportunity here.
Yeah, and I know LeBron's been on record of saying, and LeBron is, you know, has a big voice, he said that he doesn't want to play unless there's fans. I think he'll come around to it if everybody else needs to get out there. And I agree. I think basketball would be one of those that would be easier to get by than maybe something else. But, you know, Chris, what I keep coming back to is the only thing this reminds me of this period is 9/11. And really, I looked it up the other day. It was 10 days of no sports. Like, we're past that now.
But we still went to school.
Yeah.
And we still went to work.
Right.
And we,
so, but that, I mean,
you
that,
had those
that,
distractions.
That we, but yeah, but then when baseball came back, and it's still iconic when in New York City.
Subway Series was that year.
No, well, no, that was the Yankees Diamondbacks.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry.
But about the first day back, your Braves were on the road in Shea Stadium against the Mets. And Mike Piazza hits a home run in the eighth inning. And, you know, while they're wearing the FDNY hats and the NYPD hats, and it was just like, all right, that's a distraction. We can all feel good about this. Even though the Braves lost, even the Braves players years later said that was actually probably for the best.
There, in fact, you just said that. There's, I'll pull it out for you so you can see it right here. There's an entire chapter about that game in the Chipper Jones book
and it was,
that I have.
Yeah. I mean, I remember that
really
moment.
Really cool.
I remember that moment just thinking, you know, we can, it's okay to be a fan of sports right now because we need it. And I don't think there's a time more than right now that we could just really use anything.
So
some sort of sport. So that I'm surprised, quite frankly, that one of these leagues hasn't embraced that. Even the PGA Tour.
I think everybody's so scared.
They're nervous about it.
In the PR, because you're trying to promote social distancing.
Yep.
And you want to show that you're taking it seriously.
Yep.
But I think what we're talking about, there's going to be a real window here with all this testing.
Yep. So what's going to happen, and we were just talking about this before we went on. We haven't really had anything else to analyze. So you and I both, and I'm sure a lot of our folks listening to this podcast are the same way, just really into this, you know, COVID thing. Like, what does this mean? How's it going to play out? What do we need to do to get better? Yada, yada, yada. And what I think is going to happen is now they have this rapid testing that's going to fire up. Eventually, once they get past the healthcare professionals, which is the number one thing, we all agree on that, then I think you get to a point where you will give these tests to every single player and staff member and whoever that is going into an arena.
Yeah, media.
Everybody. Yeah. You have to take this test if you want to go in. If you're good, you're good. And then they'll play. Like, I think that it's going to be that extreme, and I think it'll even down the road. I mean, there could be temperature checks and things, but we're not going to see fans at these things for a number of months. And I think you could even look at fans not being there into the fall. I do think there's a better chance of football happening with no fans than none at all. As far as not playing, I think they'll still play, but I think that there is a chance that there's no fans at college football and NFL games in the fall. But that's the steps you have to take. And if you look at China, you look at South Korea right now, they still haven't resumed basketball over there. China even pushed back. Now that's a whole nother political discussion we get into of what's actually going on in China, right? But they delayed their basketball.
They're a bunch of liars.
Well,
is what's going on? I'll tell you. I mean, I'll be a little less PC than you.
They just pushed back their season all the way till May, and South Korea did the same thing because nobody wants to go, wants to be the first, and then, you know, have that on the backs of it. They are helping spread this thing,
which I respect the fact that everybody's being cognizant of it. But I think that. I don't know. It just kind of hit me. Like, I think that the longer this goes on in our country, there's going to be a responsibility for these guys to go back on the floor.
Yes.
I'll say this, like, and by no means am I comparing what we do to LeBron James, but, like, I've put more, like, time and thought into our radio show in the last 2 weeks than I ever have because I feel like it's our most important shows. Even though we're not talking about
for people,
even though we're not talking about sports,
yeah.
I just feel like we have a responsibility to help people like distract. And I had a talk with our staff. I sent out that email the day after the NCAA tournament got canceled. I said, guys, like we need to be at our best right now because people need that. And I think that, you know, Adam Silver is a guy who with all the stuff, I would be shocked if the NBA doesn't have the playoffs in some capacity. Yeah. With Adam Silver and his progressive nature, like, I think that they figured out. In baseball, here's the question I have for baseball and stuff. Because about the NBA deal, you can kind of like just keep everybody around, like you were saying. With the question I have on Major League Baseball is, can we fly these guys all over the country? Like, or do we have longer homestands? Or
if they're in charters, it's not that much different. I mean, you just test the pilots too, right? I mean,
and you make sure the seats are really clean.
Yeah,
and like, I mean,
there are things you can do, and like I said, if you're testing everybody before they even enter the stadium, the arena, you would know. I mean, I think at first that's the measures you're going to have to take to make sure everybody's okay. But I think just based on numbers, basketball will be easier because you've got 15 guys on a roster as compared to 25 for baseball and everything that goes with that. I think baseball's even talked about doing smaller stadiums and staying in Arizona and Florida for the start of the season. But I still don't even know what that gets you other than it's a smaller stadium. It doesn't look as bad on TV.
Really insensitive comment for you baseball people. It doesn't matter. And like,
no, I mean,
for me, like, I've watched enough like Thursday afternoon games with nobody in the stands. It doesn't really impact. You don't have to show the crowd.
Right. And I think people want to go just because they like going, but
baseball translates to no crowd way better than any other sport.
And TV is still like power player number one here.
Yes.
I mean, they really are all the way across the board.
So this is what I wanted to transfer into with the Iowa State and the football thing.
Yeah, because I agree. I mean, I think we can think about us. Like, hey, I want to go. I want to go to this game. Or I want to. But really, for these leagues to exist and to succeed, they need the TV revenue. And so the TV is the one who is going to carry the big stick here and say, you will play.
And the TV won't be able to pay that revenue if it goes without games for too much longer.
Correct. So that's why they're.
So that's why
it's a really it's so the NCAA tournament is a great example. What they had the study that came out this week that the NCAA's out. What was it? $400 million.
Yeah, it was almost $500 million.
So you can't make that up. So they have these contracts, these TV contracts, of if there's a some sort of act of, I think they even write it in, act of God, which this coronavirus would be, then the contract's basically null and void. And so it's like it didn't even happen. So CBS and Turner get their money back. They didn't even pay. And the NCAA is like, there goes our revenue source. Mm-hmm. Just like that. And so, and it's even a bigger scale with, you start talking about the NBA contracts, the NFL contracts going forward, college football. So these leagues have an incentive, a huge incentive to make this work one way or another.
So, this I say this at the risk sounding like a country bumpkin here, okay?
Well.
But I'm a really big believer in, like, the human mind and just the power of human beings, okay? Let me hear me out here. So right now, like, all of the smart people in the world are focused on one thing. All of the money in the world, like the rich people, are really focused on one thing. I just have a hard time believing that it's going to take 18 months for us to like be able to really like knock this thing out.
Sure.
Now, I don't know about vaccines and all. My wife just was telling us about it. My point is,
and she's a doctor.
Yes. I think things get expedited just a little bit. This is just what my gut says. I feel like our president is really, it seemed like on Friday, it was kind of like a wake up call for the federal government. I don't know. I don't know enough about it, but I think that everybody's scared enough right now, or the next month is going to be very, hi, Cammy, we're just doing a podcast. Have a good night. Hey, this is a quarantine edition of the Cyclone Fanatic podcast where 5-year-olds will walk into the home office. That's fine.
That's all about it.
I don't know, man. Like, my thought when I'm looking ahead to football season.
Yeah.
And the whole crowd thing, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it kind of goes with what I was saying about the NBA playoffs, where with all the money involved, with the television contracts, with the schools, what they're what they can lose and stay afloat. How does this impact the institutions as a whole?
Yep.
Then on top of it, with the amount of focus and energy that is going into not necessarily even finding a cure, but like finding answers for this thing so we can productively fight it.
Yep.
I have a really hard time believing that we're not going to find a way to have these games take place in one way or another.
It just somebody,
even if there's no crowd.
Somebody has to be first. And it's going to be really hard right now to be that first person, that first league, that first whatever, to say, you know what? This is worth it. We're going to get backlash. Because you're going to get backlash, right?
Well, that's why, like, I'm writing this column, right? And I'm prepared to be called, like, this machismo, like, science denier, which I'm not. But I'm, like, I don't know. I think we can talk this thing in circles a little bit, though.
Correct.
I don't think it's just, oh, we're all going to die, right? Like, I think there's another side to this that maybe the mainstream media hasn't done a great job of giving some positives. I'm not even giving positives. I think we're just critically thinking through this and how sports can enhance our lives in this world.
Two things can be true about this whole thing, and I agree with you. Number one, that this is a scary deal, and this is unprecedented, and this is not the flu, okay? I think that's pretty evident by now. Two, that the media can get benefit and ratings from making it seem scarier than it needs to be.
Absolutely.
And I think they have. I mean, hey, listen, I like facts. I like numbers. I like data. I don't necessarily need CNN with a running tally of people dead.
Especially, well, in
like,
the...
I don't see what that...
The death toll is less offensive to me than the, like, cases. Like, the number's going to go up because we're testing more people.
Right. And
that's the whole... Don't we want that number to go up?
We actually probably do.
Then we learn more, and then we can educate our communities, and I don't know, like...
But so this comes back just to, you know, to the sports angle of somebody has to be first into... You're going to get all sorts of incoming fire from the media, from social, from everybody of how dare you do this when you're putting lives at risk. It's going to happen. I mean, if you go first, you're going to, you're putting these people's lives at risk by playing this. It's a game. And someone's going to have to be first, and then it'll get easier and easier.
I could see it being NASCAR or the PGA.
Well, and I think that's where you got to look at those first, right? Because you can't, the contact sport's going to be tough.
Everything NASCAR does, I know, I'm just familiar with the business model, is all charter.
But
they're not taking commercial flights. They're not.
Yeah, so I think that I think
the teams charter each other. I think there's an opportunity there.
Definitely. And so, but it's going to be, somebody's going to have to be the first person to take that step. And then the other part of it is they have to get a better grasp on, you know, the testing part, which then they can, you know, welcome people in and say, well, we tested all these people. They're good. Don't have to worry about the actual competitors here. And then the fans will come after that. But it'll be interesting. I think April, from what I can tell, will be really, really rough. And from
everything's going to like peak.
It will. And then I think what you'll see is May, it'll start to wind down. And then maybe late May, June is when you start talking about these leagues starting to prepare to get going. But who knows? I mean, this thing's on its own timetable. But you will have, whatever league it is, you will fight the media who wants to make this scary, which, again, good for them. I mean, that's their job is to inform. And that's going to be a tough hurdle to overcome because look at the way the tournament's canceled, right? It went, you know, the Big 12 did their thing, then the Big 10, the SEC, and everyone looked at the Big East like, how dare you? Which is interesting now that was in New York City and that's now the largest hot spot. But everyone's looking at them like, what are you doing here? And it's going to be that similar type of reaction for somebody to get going. So what needs to happen is first China and South Korea need to get going. I mean, that'll be one part of it. And then, you know, maybe things in Europe get better. I don't know exactly the timetable will be, but, college football is going to have to follow, right? It's going to have to follow these other leagues resuming first.
I assume college football will take some sort of follow the leader with the NFL, too. Because it seems like that's the way, like if you're an Iowa State football fan, you're wondering, well, how do you, it seems like it's going to be like a mini camp thing, just like the NFL, if we can get to that point.
And the other part of it is you're going to fight politics from a state level of if the university is not even open, you cannot play college football. So that's the other part. You cannot have student athletes there just to play football. So obviously it's going to have to be open as a university. And that's another challenge.
And that's another deal to when I would look ahead to 2024, which when we mapped out these pods, we weren't necessarily planning on a coronavirus pod. But, this would be a scenario where it would be advantageous for these schools not to be locked into the NCAA and to be basically independent contractors. Like the 64, like however you would break it down. But still, like now that I say that out loud, you're still associated with the university.
Yeah, you can't.
Maybe not. I take that back.
I mean, how do you justify you have these 100, only the 100 students that are football players are on campus and they can be there, but nobody else can? Like that won't go over well for anybody, whether fair or not. And so for college football to resume, you have to assume that all of these universities are open as well. And, you know, that...
Is USC or UCLA going to be open? You know what I mean? Like, I'm trying to... the reason I point them out...
you got
to
look at them all.
Large campuses in dense populations.
Yep.
Like New York... I mean, Rutgers, I don't know. Like, there's not as many of them. Like,
sure.
What about, like, Texas? Or, I mean, hell, there's 40,000 at Iowa State now.
Yeah.
Now, granted, we're not a hot spot yet.
No,
we might be come that time. We don't know.
So here's I saw this argument floated today, and actually there was an article in the Sports Business Journal today that it's been bandied about a bit. Of the thought is this virus may go away, quote unquote, when it gets warmer, because viruses tend to be cyclical with the weather a little bit. And so there's actually been floated around by some people in college sports that they'd play a July, August, September season. And then that way, when this thing, and it probably will, it could come back when it's colder in October, then you don't have to shut it down, because that's the other fear, right? So even if this thing goes away enough to play, but then there's another...
But this is my theory.
Resumption of cases. You have to cancel this.
And again, with the risk of sounding like a ignorant country bumpkin, I have a feeling, and this is just my feeling, because I put a lot of trust in our scientists.
You're an optimist.
There's got to be an antibody or something around by October.
I would hope so.
I mean, it's March right now.
Yeah.
Like, I just have a feeling that, like, somehow, I'm not saying a cure or even a vaccine, like, but do a little research. If you don't know what I'm talking about, I'm not going to even try and explain it.
Yep.
But, like, you can pump antibodies into people that make the effects lessen. And
what's that threshold, though?
Yeah, I don't know.
Because
I don't have the answers.
I agree with you. I mean, let's say, okay, what is our I mean, I don't want to get too dark here, but the mortality rate right now is about 1.34% in the U.S.
And it's actually probably lower because...
when we haven't tested.
Correct.
And the flu is a 0.1. So let's say you get this mortality rate in July at 0.3. Is that still too much?
Which is a note that I've seen a lot, number.
Yeah, is that too much? Like, do we go back to business? Do we go back to life then? Or is that still too much? Because 0.3% is still... I mean, you're still talking about...
It's a lot of people.
You know, tens of thousands of people.
It's a lot of grandmas and grandpas and moms and dads. Like, you have to think of it like that.
But, I mean, as
the world still has to spin.
It does, and people die.
And we can't keep cutting $2 trillion checks.
Like, you gotta... Yeah. There's a threshold, but I don't know what that is, and that's why the smart people have to figure this out. I think 1.4, whatever, 5% right now is too high. Like, I get it now. If that gets down to 0.4, do you say, well, I mean, what is it? What is that threshold? And I think these are the questions that are going to be really difficult, because it's good. If this thing spreads, and it will continue to spread, people will continue to be impacted, and the fear will still be there because people capitalize on fear. And so it's going to be really tough. Like, I come back to my other point of who's going to be the first league to say, yes, we will go out there. The people need this too. And we're gonna resume play. And once that domino starts, and I think the rest will fall in line. But from a college football standpoint, the universities need to be open. And
so that's in your
mind.
That's
it.
So in your mind, that's
number
the key.
Number one is the universities have to be. They cannot.
You cannot have, it would lose all respect of the whole student-athlete thing if college football exists and classes are still online. That just won't work. It just won't work. I don't think it would.
I don't buy the summer schedule either. Like, I just, can you imagine, like.
No, and there's a couple.
Baton
BDs
Rouge
that,
in
yeah,
July.
Right. You just, I mean, that's another, like, you're risking something totally different than this heat stroke.
I don't buy it.
I don't either.
I mean, John, I read the report. John Allred's really good. Yeah. Like, Allred or whatever his name is from Sports Business Journal. I'm sure he heard that somewhere.
Yeah,
like,
TV's got to see. This is. Let's move this to the TV angle because they're the ones that are, they are the you know, the Oz behind the curtain here, pulling all.
They
the strings.
Own every bowl game. And they own all the conference basketball tournaments.
Let me just because I. Here's the big picture as far as Iowa State's concerned and why it matters what TV thinks. Iowa State's revenue is right around $90 million, just to give an even number. It's probably a couple million here, couple million there. About $45 to $50 million of that comes from the Big 12. And the Big 12 gets its money from TV, namely, and then the NCAA tournament and bowl games. So over half of Iowa State's revenue comes from sources beyond their control. That's big. Like they, so that's why when the Big 12 says, or when the TV partners say, Iowa State, you're going to play at 11.
Yeah, you
Iowa
play
State
at 11.
Plays at 11. We talked about this on the podcast before. Like they have to do this. And so if TV says, well, here's what we have in mind for this, all these power players have to listen. Like Iowa State does not control when they restart this thing. It comes from TV working with the conferences first and foremost.
Yeah, and I don't know, like, if, let's say they don't, let's say that they just cancel everything.
And so right? this is the other problem.
Yeah.
So think about that money.
Well, and ESPN is going to, I mean, they probably already are eating it. And if you're watching the Viacom, CBS, and Disney stock lately.
Yep, they're eating it big
like,
time.
Yeah. My point being, 2024 is not going to be this bumper crop for these conferences if we just quit playing games.
Yep.
Because you basically got two bidders right now. You've got Fox and you've got ESPN. There's been theories for a while, you know, maybe this could be a really a boost for your Netflix and for your Apple or whoever.
Yeah, Apple Plus.
Yeah, whoever starts, maybe this is a good thing for them because they're not at this point. Netflix traffic's through the roof. Yeah. They're probably making more money than ever.
Thank you, Tiger King.
Yeah. Maybe Amazon and you see where I'm going with this. I'm just thinking very deeply into 2024,
which is when all these media rights are up. That's
correct.
That, yeah.
You have to play games. Like they have to find a way to do it. Otherwise, ESPN is not going to be ESPN in a year.
No.
For obvious reasons. And then they're not going to be up. I think at the end of all this, we're looking at a different college. Like, can you keep paying coordinators $1.5 million? I don't think so.
Well, so just I would say it's a small slice in the pie, but if half the revenue, so $45 million-ish of Iowa State's revenue comes from TV / the Big 12, and that's cut down to, let's say, well, that there's no bowl games, take that out, and it's determined. So you're looking at, now your revenue's in half, almost overnight. Where, I mean, you have fixed expenses, so yeah, you're gonna have to slim down really quickly, and there'll be jobs that are lost, and you'll have to be way more efficient. And oh, by the way, if there's no college football, then your ticket income drops, your Cyclone Club drops. I mean, all this stuff. Like, you become it gets really.
You're not getting sponsorship dollars from the ring around Jack Trice Stadium.
Yep. So the Learfield IMG
is Cyclone
money.
Fanatic. Can we even stay afloat?
Right.
Like,
so,
honestly, if there's no football season, I'm gonna have to find a new job.
And there's a lot. I mean, this is from a college sports standpoint. If there's no college football season, it gets ugly really quickly because there's this much tied into this thing going on a cycle.
KXNO.
Yeah.
You know, like, think about it. Like, it's.
So this could, again, You don't want to get too dramatic here.
Man, I'm going to have to move back home and farm.
You start thinking, like, this is, we've had podcasts about the Big 12 missile crisis, and it would be at that level or maybe, well, probably much worse if there's no season this year because you lose all that, and it's just hard to get that engine turning again.
The only difference is that everybody's involved here.
It's not just.
The nukes aren't aimed at four Big 12 schools.
That is a good point. I think they find a way to.
You have to keep the TV revenue.
You just have to. I mean, at the bottom line, like,
they're going to test all those kids. The kids are, and their parents are going to have to sign release forms that
to
they're
be in
okay.
the stadium. Yep.
Yeah, and you know, we'll probably be there.
Yeah,
media will be allowed. Yep. And we're going to have to get our temperature taken and wear a mask,
or take the test, or whatever.
You know, whatever it is. I just saw Kirk Herbstreit's deal, and I just, as much as that's irresponsible to me. Like, I.
But his point was well taken in that.
I get it.
At that point, if somebody in that locker room gets coronavirus, you have to shut it down. Like you do. Now, since he said that, they came up with this more rapid test, which I think will revolutionize how we look at this.
I agree. The one that we're referencing, you can basically get a result in like five minutes or something like that. That changes everything.
So they got to get it to the point where they can administer on-site and then give you the green light to go. And it's going to be weird. It's going to be different. It's going to be a new way we're looking at life. But there's going to be all these big things. You have to make sure everybody's virus-free. It's just the nature of it. And I think that's the near future.
Yeah. I mean, everything is different now. Everything is different. And it's going to be that way for a while.
Until they get a vaccine, it's going to be weird. And I hope that comes soon. Or, like we talked about, they get the treatment to a point where between the mitigation efforts and the treatment efforts, you can drive that scary number down further to where it's more just a seasonal illness.
From what I get, like, you're basically getting a flu shot.
That's the vaccine, yeah.
Well, but, okay, now you clarify this for me, big shot. Because, like, what Ashley always tells me, is you get a flu shot, but you can still get the flu.
Because
like a different strand of it. But your
antibodies.
Everything's, it's not as bad.
Right.
We're outside of it.
But some sort of combative measure is going to have to take place.
Dr. Urban back on the pod.
But I think, and I hope this happens soon because college football starts in 5 months. I mean, regardless,
Jesus, it's going to be a long summer.
I think players, they're going to miss out on probably a good portion, all the spring. And then if they can get them back on campus by July 1, I think that'd be great. I think that'd be aspirational.
Probably not going to have media days this year in Dallas.
Probably not.
I don't know if I want to get on a plane.
Yeah.
Do you think it'll be like the old Big 12 Skyriders tour? You ever heard about those days?
I have, where they would go.
Chuck Morris used to tell me about those.
Yep.
You'd just get on. So back, for those who don't know, like, they'd take all the scribes.
And you'd fly site to site.
So the Big Eight would get like a charter jet.
Yep.
And they'd fly all the beat riders from one Big Eight town to another.
So different.
Because they actually wanted our coverage and they appreciated it. And now, like, the media's kind of become the enemy to all these people.
Which, that could change a little bit, too. I mean,
I see what you're saying.
Schools need the cover, and I don't know what coverage is going to look like here.
Well,
some of these publications are going to have a rough go. They really are, and you know it.
Tell me about it.
So it's
our Patreon could really use some funds if you're listening.
No, it's tough. And everyone's impacted by this from this economy, and it's not going to get any easier until they resolve this.
So here's the problem from, like, where I sit, and this is, I'm going to try and not be really
No fans who can go to the games, like, where are they going to get their coverage?
Well, this is what I foresee happening. Our coverage, our numbers would be through the roof.
Yeah.
But with that becomes more expenses for, like, your server and stuff. The problem is if there's no advertisers nationally or locally spending any money, we're paying more with higher traffic to make pennies on the dollar, which we're seeing already.
Yep.
Like, our revenue, like, on a daily basis from like a third-party ad standpoint is like one-fifth of what it was crazy. Pre-coronavirus.
Crazy.
So, you're right about the... I mean, this is the one time where I would probably... I mean, just being brutally honest with everybody, I have to think about a subscription thing if I want to keep the doors open. Yep. I'm just saying that this is long-term. I'm not...
No, I think people are going... Every single business... There's, you know,
you have to make a pivot.
Something's going to be different, and everyone's impacted by this, and everyone's listening. This has impacted them in 8 different ways.
But, think of the local restaurant owner. I mean, I talked to a guy yesterday, one of our partners.
It's bad.
I mean, can we keep relying on like carryouts for the next 2 months, or you know? And the government, I give the government a lot of credit. I think
everyone's trying.
They're throwing everything they can at this.
Yep.
But it's just very uncertain times. So this again. The good thing is Bloom's working from home, and we live 5 houses down. So we'll do some more pods that are more Iowa State specific. But I thought this one was necessary.
Well, and it's uncertain. But know that these universities and these athletic departments have every single incentive to play this fall, because if they don't, then it is bad news for them, and for the TV partners as well. I think they can weather this for so long, like your ESPNs and your Fox Sports. Well, they can get by for maybe, all right, give me 6-8 weeks. But when they start getting into the summer and they still got nothing, they're going to get in trouble too. And so they're going to really put it out there. I saw something the other day, and I thought it was a great idea. The Big Three tournament, right? Which is the Ice Cube 3-on-3. His thought was, we're so starved for live sports right now. I'm going to lock my guys into a house, whatever, a court. We're going to run games with TV broadcasts with all my guys right there. I'm going to test them all.
And it's really no different than what we just went through at Battle of Atlantis.
Yeah.
I mean, you're literally all under one roof.
Yeah, so that's what the NBA is thinking about, going to Bahamas or whatever. Putting everybody under one roof and then playing 3-on-3 is probably maybe one of the first to do it. But these TV entities are going to be so starved for live sports and ratings that they all have incentive to get this going and get this going quickly. But they will fight, Chris, like we talked about. They will fight the backlash from the social media and media in general.
When's the first coach take a pay cut?
Oh, somebody will.
It'll be like a Dabo.
Yeah.
Somebody with an incredibly large salary anyways, yep. And then they'll be I'll take 4.5 million.
That's a good
instead.
Point. That's a really
I,
good point.
I just, it's coming.
Yep.
Like I was reading in the same thing that you referenced about the revenue, you know?
Yeah.
About how, like, Iowa State's in great shape compared to, like, a Mountain West school.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
You know, like, their revenue just got cut in half.
Bare bones to begin with. And Iowa State's got some reserves. Iowa State is going to survive this.
I'm glad Jamie Pollard's our AD right now.
I completely agree. And he's well aware. And
he's a CPA.
We always joke that Jamie's 5 steps ahead of everybody. He probably has auxiliary plans for all this stuff and how it's going to impact them.
You know.
But it's Iowa State's not immune either, though. It's going to impact them. And for a while, we'll see if... It's tough timing, like you said, because we were ramping up still TV rights-wise. Like, they weren't slowing down. But I think this is a pretty level off of, this is not going to continue. And so you look now at coaching salaries that I think they've hit a max for the short term.
Hold on. I'm taking this note for my column. This is a big win for the streaming companies, the coronavirus deal. I don't want to call it winners. We're all losers here. But like...
That's the other thing.
When I'm looking into the future, though, the cord model is really getting crushed right now with all these people at home. We want to binge things. We need to be entertained. When you're just bored out of your mind right now, are you flipping around on the cable channels or are you
I Tiger King the hell out of that, and I'm doing Ozark now.
That's my point.
I have watched a lot of old just random games. I'm like, this is Yeah. It's like 60% fulfillment.
I've been watching old NASCAR races.
Let me one more theory at you.
Okay.
Wouldn't you say that this starvation of sports really promotes the importance of live sports for it could actually help?
Yes.
In essence. Now, okay. they may not have the revenue to pay the money, but it's pretty clear that people need this stuff.
You're right. If this thing gets turned around in the timetable that I think it will, your ESPN and your Foxes will be just fine.
Yep.
What I'm saying is if this thing is a year without games,
okay,
like the worst case scenario.
The worst case, yep.
I think they're bled dry, and I think that yep. gives a Netflix or an Amazon an opportunity
to come in
that they wouldn't have had before.
I agree.
Because I think these conferences, like look at what happened with the Big 12 basketball and ESPN Plus this year, right? The outcry of, oh, how dare you, don't put those games over the air. This coronavirus world, like my mom and dad texted me today that they watched every episode of Tiger King today. They're in their sixes.
I would love Big Mike's okay. impression.
You see my point, though.
Yeah.
Like,
People are getting more comfortable with it.
Yeah. Yep. So I think that there would have been a stigma there for, let's say, the SEC
yep.
to give its exclusive football rights, tiers one and two, to Netflix
yep.
for however many million dollars, right? Well, I don't know. If this would go on for a year, there'd be a hell of a lot more people cutting their cords.
Yep.
There'd be a hell of a lot more people signing up for Netflix.
Economical standpoint. Yeah.
Right?
That's a good point.
I mean, I don't want to get into like stock picking and stuff, but like I've been buying Verizon and like 5G because I think that a post-coronavirus world, like one, there's going to be more people working from home.
Yep. And that's happening now for sure. Because we're realizing
absolutely.
That we can do this.
Yeah.
Mostly.
And a lot of these, what are we paying rent for?
Yep.
Like, why can't we all, like, if we have five employees, what are we paying rent for? We could just meet at Panera yep. once a week. Or we could get on Zoom and have our conference yep. calls and everybody works from home.
The Zoom, WebEx, Microsoft Teams model, it's proving that can actually be pretty effective. Which I think, every crisis, you come up with some really good technology. You look at world wars over the years. This is, a different kind of crisis. But you're going to see technology emerge both medically, and then I think, the remote working streaming stuff that will really, really be the staple of this era.
Good talk, Bloom.
Yeah, I don't know if we solved anything, but it at least felt good to...
No, I think that...
To talk with another human being about it.
Well, and I just felt the need, because this does, you brought it up, like the reminders of the Big 12 missile crisis.
Yeah,
because I remember that era because I was so nervous, just selfishly.
Sure.
Of what would happen to us and like, et cetera. Well, that you hung on every word you heard in every detail. And I think a lot of fans out there, anytime anybody says anything about the football season, they either panic or they, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a very realistic deal. So I wanted to be able to, for myself selfishly, just be able to talk through it with somebody.
Yep. And
I think that this helped me. I hope it helps some of our listeners too.
So the couple cues for this fall, look at NBA and MLB, see what they're doing, and then see if Iowa State's back in session.
And watch the NFL.
I mean, it'll fall in line.
The NFL will be ultra aggressive. It's a very conservative league. It's billions of dollars.
Yeah.
You're older conservative owners. They're less socially conscious.
And they have a monster TV contract.
Yes.
More so than any of these.
They have
so
more to lose than anybody.
Correct. It's going to be, it'll be.
But you bring up a good point with the politicians.
Everyone's going to get pushback. Like I mean, we just canceled the Ryder Cup.
Yeah, but what league doesn't give a crap? It's the NFL.
Yeah, they're the ones who could.
Does Jerry Jones care?
They are. So the NFL is the one that carries a big enough stick that they could say, "F you, politicians!" Like, we're going, and the politicians would say, "Okay."
Yeah.
Like it's really that. You're right. I think the NFL still is the power broker here, and college football will probably fall in line. But in the interim, I think we should do bi-weekly chats about this, because I think it'll be ever evolving to see, you know, what this thing looks like and how does it impact fans like us. I don't, like, I was talking to my wife. My wife buys season tickets. I'm like, I don't, you can buy them, but I'm sure Iowa State would refund it. But I think that's a big problem. I mean, Iowa State now pushed back the season ticket renewals till the end of April. What do you tell people? So just a lot of dynamics here.
Indeed.
But I am comforted by, like you said earlier, having Jamie Pollard on the lead here. He would have a good idea of how this all is going.
I like Iowa State's chances with him.
Yes, always.
Better than without.
Always.
Thanks, Blim.
Yeah, that was cathartic.
Well, we'll meet Metal next week.
Yeah.
And we'll do another one of these.
Socially distant.
I would like to dig into basketball.
That's got to be tough too, though, right? I mean, I guess kids could still commit. They're just not going to campuses. Anyway.
Yeah. No, and it's too much right now with basketball.
It's a lot.
I'm not going to come on here and run down 8 transfers that they're in on, because I don't know.
Yeah.
And anything we say right now will likely be out of date in a week.
Days.
In 2 days, you're probably right. So we're going to sit tight on that. But we do want to remind you guys to use our A+ Lawn and Landscape. I've been a customer of theirs for like 10 years. And they're still rolling. Now they're using all of the guidelines and stuff with social distancing and all that. But they are business. The grass is going to grow.
It's grass is growing.
And those guys are out there on their mowers all by themselves. So,
so true.
My grass is damn near green now. Like it's ready. It just needs a couple of warm days.
I just asked my wife, I'm like, why is our grass yellow? She's like, well, you didn't mow it enough. So you've got dead grass there. So I might.
So you didn't detach it?
No.
You got to get the dethatcher out.
Oh, jeez.
Get a rake.
What am I, A+?
No, that's why you need to hire them.
I do.
Then you don't have to do it.
Do you know anybody there?
I know some people. He's Brent Blum. My name is Chris Williams. Hope you guys enjoyed it. We'll be back. Blum and I will be back with another podcast at some point next week, I'm sure. I know that the gals from Title IX are coming up. I believe they are recording on Monday night. I'm going to have a new Chris Williams podcast. This will be fun, entertaining for sure. Sage Rosenfels is going to join me.
Of many opinions.
We're just going to let Sage go on COVID-19. And I'm also going to check in. This is interesting with Allison Lacey, Allison Otzelberger.
Okay.
Who's been stuck in Australia.
Oh, really?
During the coronavirus outbreak. She was there for a wedding, a family wedding.
Can't get back?
Yeah, and it's it's interesting. So she's going to join me. And then I know Stans and Fitz. Stans was wanting us. He hasn't reached out to you yet, I don't think. He wants us to do a deal, like a rewatchables on a...
No, he did send me a note.
Okay. He wants us to watch a game and talk about it. So we'll maybe
We're targeting, which would be a lot of animosity here, the 05 Kansas game in the fog, which included the
basketball?
Yeah. That's
a Wayne Morgan team, right?
So this was the one where Jared Holman was supposed to be shooting 2 free throws.
Oh, no.
And they...
I don't want to.
I don't know if that's the one we should do, though, Stans. I mean, I would defend... I won't defend the... Well, it's a long story.
Maybe this is a great idea, though.
Yeah. I mean, because...
The game that would really be painful for me, you said Kansas. I was thinking 2005 Kansas football.
Oh,
remember
no.
that?
Yeah.
Remember that bitch of a game?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
We were both there.
Oh, my God.
I think you were not with your wife, but with somebody.
Yeah.
And then I was on the sideline.
I was with another gal that day.
Yeah.
I remember that one.
I was doing student radio. Oh, my gosh.
I'll just be honest with my audience.
No, I'm not watching that.
I was annihilated before that game.
We had
the most fun tailgate party because we were certain we were going to the Big 12 championship game. And I was with all the I was sitting in the players section with like all the parents and stuff. Oh my God. That game will haunt me until I die.
Brian Luke.
This would be good though. We should do like a rip off of the Ringer and do Iowa State rewatchables and talk about
that,
why don't we?
It's a blatant rip off, but. We've got some Wayne Morgan stories.
I don't think Simmons would care.
Oh, yeah. Got enough money, Bill.
All right. He's Brent Bloom.
Thanks, all.
I'm Chris Williams. Happy birthday to Everett, by the way.
Thank you.
Everett Bloom.
Two tomorrow.
Turns two.
Yeah.
On the 29th. Big kid. God, you got two under the age of two. Yeah, how in the hell?
Bourbon and Tiger Keys.
Man, I thought I had it rough. My little baby boy, Dirks, just turned seven. God bless him. We'll talk to you guys next week. Later.